Now, one of the main things I want you to remember and understand is the time that you're ministering in. And there's a powerful verse in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Understanding the time. And by doing that, you'll know what you ought to do to lead God's people as a minister. That verse is worse than the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the time. Understanding of the time. Very important to know what Israel ought to do. That's what ministry is all about. Okay? So I want you to have that verse. And then in Ephesians 4, 12. Ephesians 4:12. Now Ephesians 4:11 through out the 16th verse is telling us the importance of ministry. But here's three things that we must remember: for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those three things always must be in the uttermost part of your ministry. That's what it's for. It's not for entertainment, it's not for showmanship, but it's for you to prepare yourself. Every door of opportunity that's open to you to minister, you must be prepared to carry those three things out. So there's a vast need of changes in leadership. We talked about some of these churches not going to make it, they're not going to be able to survive. And so the model of ministry, the pattern of ministry, and the guardians that we need at this time as ministers is so important. Number one, the environment and culture in which we are called to minister is rapidly changing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Rapidly, everything changing. Everything is on a spin. It's a spinning top. Now, when we get down further, we're going to show you how to take care of this rapid change. Don't let it change you. Yes, sir. So, with this changing environment, there's a new dimension of leadership that is desperately needed. A new dimension of leadership. And so when we deal with the apostolic wisdom and apostolic strategies, apostolic insight, we're back in the plan of God because God knew all this was going to change. Right? So a new dimension of leadership is desperately needed. And that's what I believe this school is about. Put you in the dimension of the apostolic.
Yes, sir.
Now notice the next statement. There's two words I want you to get, class. It need a leadership that cannot be denominated or dominated. It need a leadership that cannot be dominated. In other words, you're up on it. You're up on. You don't let nothing dominate you, no matter what they come up with. You're walking by faith. You're walking in the Spirit, under the anointing.
Yes, sir.
And you know, I want to reiterate these anointing because they're so important. The dove anointing, gentleness. You got to have gentleness in order to do this. Gentleness and boldness mixed together because you get to the lion anointing. But then you get to the second one, the lamb anointing. You've got to have a meekness with you. That meekness never fails. Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. So that's a divine meekness you have to have. And there in Revelation 5:12, there are seven things that happen to you when you're wearing the lamb anointing. Power, riches, wisdom, honor, glory, blessing and wisdom. That's why the lamb was slain. And Revelation, I think Revelation 5:12, I think it's the right voice.
Yes, sir.
Power, riches, wisdom, strength. These are various type of anointing when you're wearing the lamb anointing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then we talk about the eagle anointing, that you must not be down there eating with the chicken.
Yes.
If you're going to be ministers, you need to soar with the eagle.
Yes, sir.
And then we go to the lion anointing. Remember, we say the lion anointing, king of the beasts. And we are of the tribe of Judah. And so you have to have a certain boldness with you when you're dealing with something on the kingdom behalf.
Yes, sir.
And then I say to you also, you got to watch what you eat and what you drink. Milk,
yes,
meat,
yes,
wood called honey,
uh-huh,
right?
Yes, sir.
And you go on. It's the various things the word is called. Meat, milk, honey. There's two other things I want to say to you. I don't know. It's just, I'll get back to them. Bread. And then the three types of word I told you you need to have. You need to have the written word. You need to have the rhema word. You need to understand spermatic words. Sperm, spermatic words. I repeat myself in my class, you know.
Yes, sir.
And then you need to know that God has put a prophetic word in your mouth.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, so we need leadership that cannot be dominated. You will have to learn to walk in dominion.
Yes, sir.
Authority, dominion. Learn to walk in dominion. You're supposed to dominate. Let me make a whole statement here so you can get it. It needs a leadership that cannot be dominated and fashioned it by the environment.
Yeah.
See, we don't try to fit in the environment as ministers. No, no, no. We the environment keepers. You follow what I'm saying? So again, it says these men and women must not be product of their environment. Now listen very carefully. But vessels made and fashioned by God's grace and power. Grace and power. Grace and power. I ran upon something in the scripture. I hope I can finally give it to you. It had an effect on me. I had never seen this before in this fashion in 47 years of ministry. And somebody said, Lord, help him find it. I was reading. I do a lot of reading. I came up on this verse. I was listening to something and came up on this verse. My goodness. Timothy, 1 Timothy. Anyway, I can't put my hand on it. I got it marked somewhere. But it talks about God's purpose and God's grace running together. His purpose and his grace. It said purpose and grace. And I thought that was in Timothy. But you find it, you look for it. Purpose and grace. So important. And here we're talking about grace and power. See, they're a little mixed up on grace. Grace, you get saved by grace, but grace also keep you from sinning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some teachers teach you grace give you a license to sin.
Wow.
No, Titus 2:11 says grace, look at that, I think it's 2:11. It said grace give you power to overcome sin.
Yes.
I don't know where they get their lesson from. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appealed to all men. That must be go to the 12th verse, see what it said. That isn't the 12th verse? Go to the 12th verse. Teaching us the grace. Teaching us that what? And worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, that's what the grace of God will do for you. They teach you, a lot of things. Now, I like this one because based on Matthew 6:33 and Romans 14:17, this next statement, we're talking about the emerging of leadership, are renewed with kingdom thought pattern. That's a good phrase for your walk. Write down now, kingdom thought pattern. Kingdom thought pattern. Then about, you know, Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost should be your thought pattern, no matter what's going on, because you know the kingdom can't fail.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, we're talking about the type of ministers we need at this time. You see, they can't be regular. They got to go forth, you see. Yeah, that's 2 Timothy 1:9, where that purpose, thank you, son, purpose and grace at. And you read that on your own time. Now, when you're renewed with kingdom thought pattern, what I say, what? With renewed with what? Now, most ministers don't have kingdom thought pattern. Most churches don't have kingdom thought pattern. 1 Corinthians 4:20 is a powerful verse. Their kingdom concept and values are their source of strength for daily living. Listen at it. Listen at it. Their kingdom concept and value are their source of strength for daily living. Matthew 6:33, Romans 14:17, 1 Corinthians 4:20. See. Now, class, when you talk about that, what it would prevent, for this reason, they are not manipulated by men, nor do they become paralyzed by fear of failure or defeat. I'm going to give you that again. See, you have to be walking in a certain way. It's not just a prayer meeting.
Yes, sir.
You have to have kingdom confidence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Recognizing that you're working under a kingdom grace and a kingdom power. You saw what he said in 1 Corinthians 4:20? Kingdom of God, not word on it, but it's power. But in power. So, that's 2 Timothy 1:6-7 there. For this reason, they are not manipulated by man, nor do they become paralyzed by fear of failure or defeat. Against ministry out there, there are manipulators, invalidators. They seem, now my boys and girls, over the years, we have stepped out in the ministry. They know we're not no pushover. You know, they'll have senators and representatives come. I was preaching in Richmond, Virginia. They told me they had the congressman was going to speak for the city. I said, no, not this week. Cancel it.
Yes, sir.
I told my son, cancel it. I don't want nobody in the pulpit before me with no politic.
Yes, sir.
See, some ministers are invalid,
yes, sir,
because they don't know what to do. They're manipulated. Yes, they feel inferior.
Yeah.
They're intimidated.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But there we read, they're intimidated. God have not given us the spirit of fear,
yes, sir,
power, love, and a sound mind. Now you have to, that's an anointing you got to have. You can't,
yes,
you can't be catering to people,
right,
and minister to.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One of the keys is having your total dependence, absolute total dependency upon God.
Yes.
Your write that down. Your absolute total dependency upon God.
Yes,
and then you won't be manipulated. You won't have to take on their fashion, their style, run with their crowd. This paralyzing fear of failure, of defeat. He whom God called, he take care of. Yeah, so you have to know that. You have to understand that. And it doesn't matter how it look. It don't make no difference. I've seen some tough look, but it didn't back me off at one moment. Now, when you, these things I've said to you, apostolically, this type of leadership listen, draws spiritual resources from heaven. Number one. Secondly, and live by God's grace. Thirdly, breaking the limitation of their own inadequacies and weaknesses. I love that. Let me say it again. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. This type of leadership we're talking about draws spiritual resources from heaven. What I said? Take that personal. Yes, sir. See? Because if your personal life not worth nothing, you ain't worth nothing for nobody else.
Right, sir.
Draw spiritual resources from heaven and live by God's grace.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
I said God's grace is amazing.
Yes,
it's not just a song. It's amazing. Now notice this, class. Breaking the limitations, plural. The limitation. You know we all got limitations. Breaking the limitation of their own inadequacies and weaknesses.
Yes, sir.
Though I'm weak, yet am I strong.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think that's a powerful one for you to take a hold there. Their style of leadership anointing centers on the apostolic, prophetic, and pastoral. Those three.
Yes,
you know, watch that in Ephesians 4:11. Jeremiah 1:10, put it in your note. They are prophetic in perspective and in purpose. Prophetic in perspective and in purpose. They are apostolic in teaching, function, and in church government. Acts 2:42, Acts 4:33, Acts 5:12 through 16. They are apostolic in teaching, function, and in church government. Let's back to the other one. They are prophetic in perspective and in purpose. Jeremiah 1:10. They're apostolic in teaching. What I say?
Yeah,
you got it. You got it. They are pastoral in their dealing with the needs of men and in their compassion for the souls of men. They are evangelic. Acts 20:28-32. That is powerful, class. Now this paradigm shift or this model or this model or pattern shift we're making, very familiar scripture should be to you. We need Jesus the forerunner to lead us at this time. John 14:6, very clear. We have not walked this way before. You have to understand that. We have not walked this way before. Technology and all the stuff they're doing now is a whole lot of demonical substance. You know, some. I wish you women here and men here, don't be putting all your business on Instagram. Putting all your pictures on there, talking about all your family stuff, where you're going and all that. Where you get that stupid stuff from? That's what people ain't got nothing. You ain't got to be on there showing what kind of dress you got on or what. We have not walked this way before. So the future is evolving so quickly that it will take a perspective leadership, a perceptive leadership, perceptive is the word, to keep abreast with its changes. And to find apostolic strategy to be effective in it.
Wow.
Internet don't move me. Instagram don't move me.
Yes, sir.
None of that move me.
Yes, sir.
I go on that thing only when I need business.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
This is my business, what I'm doing right here now. Now, when you see leaders from this perspective of this school, this apostolic school, for one thing is certain, God has been there in the future, and he knows what it would be like. Now I have to say this, you know, Apple and internet, they're not ahead of God, you know.
No,
you can go back in creation and see they're not ahead of God. They can't create nothing. And we have to kotale shakata. We have to keep God in his place because we get so excited and you can't let that happen to you. Now, he's the most high. Nobody's smarter than him. Don't go to idolizing men so much because they accomplish a little something. Keep your eyes on God. Ephesians 1:17 will help you. And Philippians 3:10. Somebody read that 17 verse, Ephesians 1:17, and then somebody get Philippians 3:10 so we can bring God back on the scene. Lift your hand if you're going to read it. Ephesians 1:17. Y'all got Bible? Well, read. Oh my goodness. Philippians 3:10. That we might know him.
Yes,
go ahead, son, read.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death.
Yep. Another one is good for that is Galatians 2:20.
Yes,
I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet not I, but Christ living in me, the life that I now live. In the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes.
See, you need that. Now, the reason I'm saying that, let's go back. Only one thing is certain. God had been there in the future. He knows what it would be like. Those who know him and walk with him, are qualified to lead this generation. I could have some of these weirds sitting in my class and lost them in 15 minutes.
Yes,
and they'd be crying.
Yes,
because they come into another substance.
Yes,
another current.
Right.
That is more alive.
Right.
Than any other current. You see, we have to know that. We have to know Akum Vishika. We have to know what we're putting out. We have to know who we represent. We have to know that he knows all things. We have to know, we have to keep God in his place. Don't get excited. Don't get on bus with nobody just because they're riding or driving a little fast.
Yeah, right.
See. Romans 8:14. We need to be guided in the battle.
Yes.
Now, I was reading the other day, you have to know how to function in an invisible battle.
Yes, sir.
Wow. You got to know how to win. You must understand the heat of the battle of ministry is intensifying.
Yes, sir.
If you listen to these classes you're going through here at this school, they won't be able to shake you.
Yes, sir.
Listen to what I'm about to say next. The demonic onslaughts on the Christian church are getting more pronounced.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's why they're going to have strong leaders.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, who not scared of the devil?
Yes, sir.
Who already know he's defeated?
Yes, sir.
So we want you to be leaders strong in strong leadership as able to stand in the heat of the battle and wage a good warfare faith.
Yes, sir.
Paul said that's Timothy. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Well, it's 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
You got to be able to fight it when you don't see nothing.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
I just touched somebody's portion of life.
Yes, sir.
See.
Yes, sir.
Because you got your personal life to be concerned about, your family, your personal life, not just ministry.
Yes, sir.
You know, because now when you talk about ministry, the attack get greater.
Yes, sir.
You can't be crying.
Hello.
You need to wage a good warfare of faith. And Jude 20, you know, we need to learn how to build in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
I love it. And effectively pull down the strongholds of the enemy.
Yes.
Second Corinthians 10:3 said, the weapon of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God.
Yes, sir.
To the pulling down of strongholds. Now those strongholds are built in your soul.
Yes,
in your mind.
Cast
down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is very important, because you're going to have thought substance come at you.
Right.
And you got to know how to deal with it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, definitely you got to know how to deal with it. We also, as a in the revelation gift there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of them is the discerning of spirit. I had to discern in prayer meeting with my staff this morning. I discerned the spirit that I would have to deal with. I'm going to send two of my men to deal with it. If they don't be able to deal with it, I'll deal with it on Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
I'll call that devil out.
Yes.
Sometime it need to be out in the open, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so they tell the other devil, settle down.
Yeah.
wrong place.
Yeah.
See, everybody want to do everything private, but
yeah.
Paul didn't do everything private.
Right.
That woman was... Now, that thing messed me up. Two scriptures messed me up. Jesus said, thank God I come to send peace, I come to send a soul. I said, I didn't understand the soul of the spirit. A Baptist boy, I said, what kind of Jesus is this? And separating mama from daughter. And the demonical forces. You got to know how to deal with demonical forces.
Yes, sir.
How to deal with demons. And,
yes,
yeah, you in ministry, you know.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you have a demon. But Paul, this one messed me up. I got it back. In the 16th chapter of Acts, Paul and them were going to prayer. This woman was following them. But the woman was saying some nice things. I said, why Paul act ugly with the woman? See, Paul was seeing the invisible. I was seeing just a nice lady. Now the devil come to you dressed real nice, talking nice. Jesus said, let the wheat grow with the tablet. Sometimes you got to pull it out. I don't know, you ever went to a dentist and he pulled a tooth out and like your whole mouth was hurting. Got that one tooth out and everything settled down. Yeah, so I would be concerned about why Paul turned and called that woman and said, come out. I learned a secret there many years ago, 25, 30 years ago. She was a camouflage demon. They never come out in the open. They dress nice. They talk nice. But you got to have back what I was saying in Revelation, you know, in 1 Corinthians 12,
yes,
discerning of spirit.
Yes, sir.
Discerning of spirit. Or was seen in the spirit world.
Yes, sir.
So, class, write this down. We need the power to discern demonic activity.
Yes, sir.
We need the power to discern demonic activity. We need the power to discern demonic activity. Luke chapter 11, verse 17 through 22, put that in your note. The wave of deception, manipulation, and witchcraft have already infiltrated the church. Life, like this, and government. Ooh, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, Lord. The wave of deception, manipulation, and witchcraft has already infiltrated the church, life, and government.
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's why we got to come back to the apostolic. They wouldn't permit that.
No.
They'll call a prayer meeting in a moment.
Yes.
Say, Lord, send us some more power. Yeah, right there in Acts 4, they did it.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Then Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29, I'm just giving you scripture. Church splits. Liberalism. Disunity. Have taken away the strength of many churches. I mean, just like what I got to deal with now, you know. You say, well, you got to let it go. No, I don't have to let it go. When they wake me up at 5:30 in the morning, I got to pray.
Yes, sir.
I ain't letting nothing go wake me up at 5:30 in the morning. Then I got to pray all the morning, about 2 hours, I had to pray in the spirit to get an answer.
Yes.
Wow. See?
Yes, sir.
Now, you have to know the difference between a person who is zealous and a person who got a spirit controller. You get some people, you know, they real jump up and hoppy, you know.
Yeah.
I told a girl she was jumping and hollering too much. She ain't missed a service since.
Yeah.
Because she had lived a life, a bad life, and God saved her.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
She had been trying to come to church and off and on, and then she finally got where she can flow. She's just screaming all the time. But talk to her, she shut down. Every now and then she get a little holler now.
Yeah.
But it's in the anointing. See, I'm going to go on and unpeel it for you. You see, you can't let other people come in and change your church.
Right.
Now, coming to the altar here, when praise and worship is going on, you got to come right.
Yes, sir.
You can't come to be seen.
Yes, sir.
And you can't dress improper. And so now I got to address it. I'm telling my boys here, you got to address it, you see. Well, at Cam, we had a convention. One of my sons' church, their people run to the altar as soon as they start singing. And some of my people pick it up and run it. Now, you see, when you're dealing with something like this, there are people who properly in the spirit doing it. But you got to hit the whole thing to get it right, you know. And the Lord helping us. I just let y'all in on a secret there. Yeah. Because it'll go on and on and on and on and on. And some people are not up for the Lord. They're up for themselves. And if you're not going to dress right, got clothes so tight and so short on you, it's best for you to go to the back and dance in the back. How am I going to worship God and you up there shaking? Ain't got no clothes on. But the rest of y'all don't have to say nothing. That's all right. I'll do it anyway. Y'all know anything wrong. Y'all know anything wrong. It'll get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's not going to happen here because I got to have people ready to receive the word. I ain't got time for all this. Well, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, in Luke 10:38-42, the rising of men and women who refuse to change and who will resist any change in the church has become an increasingly critical issue. People don't want to accept a change. They don't want to accept. They don't want to be revived back to the real thing.
Yes,
sir. And you just got to go ahead on and take them on back.
Yes,
now I've watched things. I got to get back on this. I watched things for a while now because I know don't jump on it at the first round.
Yes, sir.
But when I come out here, I'm praying and watching.
Yes, sir.
I'm waiting. And then when the Lord give me a word on it, then I got it. I can go with it.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You say, well, you might lose some members. I've lost a few before. The church just filling back up. I got to deal with something.
Yes,
just filling back up. I had a move, you know, I had a movement.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Now, let me go back and hit this so you can get it. So you see what I'm working with. We need Jesus, the forerunner, to lead us in these times, right?
Yes, sir.
We need to be guided in the battle, right? I said that.
Yes, sir.
We need power to discern demonic activity, right?
Yes.
Now, the next thing, we need to stand up in righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Stand up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Holiness.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Come on, Apostle. Yes, sir.
Sanctification.
Yes, sir.
Clean living.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. The time that we're living in, when you stand up for righteousness, is a specific time of separation and judgment. Separation and judgment. Secondly, class, God is bringing a time of repentance and cleansing within his temple. Clean church. People who can take divine orders.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then I don't believe nobody cutting up at the altar on Sunday. They don't come to church on Wednesday. I don't believe them in no way.
Yes, sir.
They don't love God that much.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't need to go down here. Yeah. Right here. Because you had the altar jumping on Sunday.
Yes,
and I got a maturity class going on Wednesday. You don't be here.
Yes, sir.
Something wrong. Malachi 3:3, he is purifying the son of Levi.
Yeah.
The spiritual leadership who will bear the ark of the covenant and who will minister unto him.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Ministering unto the Lord. They did that in Acts chapter 13 and the Holy Ghost spoke.
Yes, sir.
There's a cleansing and a subsequent separation that is coming within the church.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Hoo, hoo, hoo. You got your shouting clothes on?
Yes, sir.
Listen to the next statement. Those who have been proven will be promoted. Those who are prepared and ready will enter this new dimension of his power and grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now the next thing we need to do, we need to prepare for God invasion. Yeah, God invasion. Being invaded by God. Heaven invading the earth. A new wave of supernatural power is soon going to be seen manifested in the church.
Yes.
As we come back to the apostolic and come back doing the thing as the book of Acts carried out, we'll be just like them.
Yes, sir.
And even do greater things.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen?
Amen?
Now here it is. The power of God will be released through the revelation and power gifts in the most unprecedented way. Revelation, 1 Corinthians 12, revelation and power gift. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirit.
Yes, sir.
Special faith.
Yes, sir.
Working of miracles and gifts of healing.
Yes, sir.
Gift, that's the power gift.
Yes, sir.
See, those gifts operate as the spirit will.
Yes,
but if you yield, the spirit willing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning the spirit, revelation gift, the power gift, special faith.
Mm-hmm.
Could say faith, but it's special faith.
Yes,
working of miracles, working of miracles,
yes,
gifts of healing.
Yes.
It's not laying hand on somebody for somebody to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've read about men who walk up to tumors and just snatch them off.
Yes, sir.
Skin come back like a newborn baby.
Yes, sir.
But that's dangerous. Because you can get dependent on that. A lot of them men died ahead of time.
Yes,
they got dependent on that and wouldn't feed on the word.
Yes,
gifts are dangerous if you're not ready for them.
Yes, sir.
I thank God I got what I got.
Yes, sir.
I feel my inadequacy, so I got to pray every meeting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lord, if you don't help me, I fall on my face for every class. Supernatural signs and wonders are going to break forth in the life of the congregation.
Yes.
A new dimension of spiritual phenomena breaking into the experiences of the church. Listen, class. It will be more than just physical manifestations of heightened anointing or the consciousness and convictions of sin. So your conscience is anointing, consciousness and conviction of sin going to rise in the church too. It would be an awesome manifestation of God's presence in his people and in his church gathering.
Yes, sir.
Powerful.
Yes, sir.
The leadership must be able to handle the changing of the world environment. Learn to face the reality of the vicious spiritual battle that is already raging against the church. Must rise above the spirits of control, manipulation, and witchcraft which are rising within the church to cripple it forward momentum. Be separated to fulfill the high calling of their ministries. Be found faithful in little, or be set in charge of many cities.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Having the governmental anointing released on them.
Yeah.
Are you following me? Let's talk a few minutes now about the challenge to the front line. The challenge to the front line. You're dealing with leaders who see the future. Now listen to this statement. Let's see if you can attest to this fact. Paul talks about it. The church leadership needs to march in front of the rest of the body of Christ. As they need to lead the church in the next millennium.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. See, we're going to be ministers. We're going to live the life.
Right.
We're going to have to prepare ourselves right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to deal with our families to get them lined up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not for people to whoop on them, but just line them up. So show the people that it works.
Yes, sir.
So they need to be marching in the front line of the battlefield, providing a strength of leadership that is dependable and fearless as we press into the uncharted waters of destiny. Not a member yet, Word of Life, know that I'm not fearful.
Yes,
and I lead.
Yes,
and they know something might go on here for a few weeks or something, but they know I got my eyes on it.
Yes.
And they know I'm going to deal with it.
Yes, sir.
See? So you're supposed to have confidence in your leader.
Yes,
you need me to read that again?
Yes, sir.
I'm not. Say, yes, sir, so nice. Yes, sir, yes, sir. I read the first one for you. The leaders who see the future. The church leadership need to march in front of the rest of the body of Christ as they lead the church into the next millennium. They need to be marching into the front line of the battlefield, providing a strength of leadership that is dependable and fearless as we press upon the uncharted water of destiny. Leadership today must have prophetic perception of the future and have ability to clearly interpret the past move of God. Listen to this very carefully. God have called us to allegiance only to the restored truth and not forms, styles, practices, method, and personal preferences. Let me get that again because you got to get this. Class, you got to get this. Class, you got to get this. Class, you got to get this. Word to the wise is sufficient. God has called us to allegiance only to the restored truth. See, that's a restoration going on. And not forms, I can't leave that word out. And fashion. You know, I hear it on this note, but style, that's fashion. Practices, method, and personal preferences. Now listen, class, very carefully. We can maintain continuity to what God has been doing in the past only if we live and walk and live with the prophetic perception and insight what God has given us in our generation. Why? I mean, why God permits you to come to the school? You either was connected with somebody who had enough to lead you to it, and those of you online, you know, this information here is right on time for what's going on. We need to embrace the best of the past and allow it to be reverenced, to be seen in the present. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. It got so much stuff went on. Ruth, I mean, all so much stuff. Daniel, you know, people talking about, we live in the New Testament. You better come and go back there and peep at that Old Testament. And I gave a description when I opened up 1 Chronicles 12:32. You remember what it said? Knowing what Israel ought to do, the head of them was 200, and their brother was at their commandment. 1 Chronicles 12:32. So, in preparing the church for the future, we talk about the past. Now, today, leadership must read the time like the sons of Issachar. I like this next statement. And apply the heavenly pattern without compromise. Yes. Adopting strategies, method, styles, and paradigm of thought pattern and attitude that will prepare the church for the future. Adopting strategies, it's the Holy Ghost, method, style, paradigm, mean model of thoughts pattern, an attitude that will prepare the church for the future. Sir. Sadly to say, I'm going to make a statement here that's in my note. The church today is struggling to cope, C-O-P-E, with the present overwhelming need of our society. Yeah. They don't know what to tell them. Yeah. They're struggling. I mean, if you're a struggler, how are you going to tell somebody how to whoop the struggle?
Yes,
sir.
Wow.
See?
Yes, sir. Right.
See, all you got to do is rely on God.
Yes, sir.
See? I mean, you know, they come dressed any kind of way, wear them little T-shirts, preachers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they won't call me old-fashioned because I believe that we need to dress with dignity. If you don't dress, the people are not going to dress. They're going to come with a little shirt hanging on them. Who are you going to meet? The king.
Yeah.
What you did when you was in the world, you were going to a concert.
Come on,
bought you a new outfit. I know what you did because I was with you. Listen to this statement, class. I feel an anointing. I feel that we are covering territories that these teaching will help people in generation to come if Jesus tarried. The humanistic philosophies of ministry which have invaded the church have kept us in the rut of deception, thus forcing us to lament on our past failures and inadequacies. The humanistic philosophies of ministry which have invaded the church, because sometimes, you know, you believe you're having church because you got a big crowd. God got a large number, 1,000 going there. Boy, that's some church there. Is it?
Yeah.
Sure. Right. Is it?
Yes, sir.
Let a demon sneeze.
Yeah.
You see how much church you got in there. Let a demon sneeze.
Yes, sir.
Let a demon cough.
Yeah.
You see who.
Yes, sir.
A demon sneezes in the word of life, we're going to wipe his nose. Because the people trained enough to know not to be afraid of him, and he almost supposed to be in here. You know, wipe his nose with blood. So the humanistic philosophies of ministry which have invaded the church have kept us in the rut of deception, thus forcing us to lament on our past failure and inadequacy. Get away from that. Your past failure, inadequacy. Everybody have had failure. Everybody have had inadequacy. Keep pressing. Paul said, I press. Yeah. Why you had to press? Resistance.
Yes, sir.
Now, ministers, this is all important. Keeping the church focused on purpose.
Yes, sir.
The drastic changes that are taking place in our environment and society are forcing the church to compromise on its original calling and purpose.
Yes, sir.
I saw it in my, I've seen a good many things. One president was there giving church funds, their government money, and they all went at it.
Yes.
I told them, I had a man said to my tail, I said, no, don't do that. I said, trust God.
Yeah. Yes,
I've trusted him.
Yeah.
Had four jets, he paid for them all.
Yes, sir.
Little country boy, you know what I'm saying? But if God called you and you trust him, He'll provide for you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, ain't no time for no compromising God's purpose.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Now, the church leadership today must be in touch with today's changing society so as to keep abreast with the development in the world we are aiming to reach. Now, you can't put your head in a sack, know what's going on.
Yes.
You know how I just hollered out? To keep all your business off their Instagram and all that?
Yes, sir.
My head not in the hole. I know y'all people doing it in the church.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You and your wife's business, you and your husband's business, nobody's supposed to know that.
Right.
What?
Yes, sir.
Now, the priesthood of the believer, this is coming up in my spirit, that church got to be brought back. The bishops and different doctors and stuff took the pulpit and didn't teach the body of Christ that they are priests.
Yes.
They act as if they're the only one got it.
Yeah.
Everybody can't be up here. You imagine all us pastors in this church?
Yeah. Sure.
Pastor so-and-so, pastor, all us pastors in this church.
Yes,
what a confusion it would be.
Yes.
But there's a pulpit out there. You know, I got, the other day I got six men saved in one day. I've got two saved. My son-in-law was standing there. He came to me crying after. Say, I want that. Lay your hand on me, please, sir. He said, how you talk to the man? One man said to me, I said, you haven't been born again? He said, well, I've been born once. Well, I know that's Catholic talk. So the Holy Spirit went around there and got him saved. We must understand global changes so that we can provide a dynamic leadership to break into a new horizon in world evangelism. And I'm going to train the churches that are under me to train their people. They don't have to hit the street. They're already in the street.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Wherever they go, be aware.
Yes.
And then, gentlemen, I don't know about you all, but basically when you give the altar call on Sunday morning, you're fishing out just on pond. Because
yes,
the people not going out there getting nobody, they all saved.
Right. Yes, sir.
And they just come to get them some food.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't planning on bringing nobody. I'm going myself, child. Get out of my way. Woo. No. Now I got to get Word of Life up, man. They got to get out of here. They're all through the week, you let all them people pass by. The new emerging leadership must be clearly prophetic in foresight and revelation while being apostolic in wisdom, authority, and strategy. I'm going to give you that again now. The new emerging leadership, because there's so much going on, must be clearly prophetic in foresight and revelation. They must see things before it happens.
Yes, sir.
They must operate in revelation while being apostolic in wisdom, authority, and strategy.
Yes, sir.
You got it? Huh? The new emerging leadership must be clearly prophetic in foresight and revelation while being apostolic in wisdom, authority, and strategy. Wisdom, authority, and strategy. So these dimensions will help prepare the present generation adequately to become the future leaders of tomorrow. We are approaching the dawn of a new millennium. A few more minutes, class. We're standing at the threshold of a new era, a period that will produce its own distinctive generation. Now, he's trying to steal his generation. We're trying to steal his generation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I heard my wife, some of it, girl had some stuff on her phone, and the mom was so illiterate about this stuff, had some music on there, some stuff that wasn't supposed to be on there. She said, "Mom, that come with the phone." That ain't come with the phone. The phone come to be programmed.
Yeah.
That ain't on my phone. Wisdom to consolidate and become accurate. Wisdom to consolidate. Now, that's one of the words the Lord gave me many years, 27 years ago. It's accommodation. What is it? Accommodation, consolidation?
Yes.
Yeah, those two words. Said the Lord about to make you rich quickly, quickly, you and your ministry. But you're going to have wisdom. Men going to try to come turn it another way. Boy, did they come. The big boys can.
Yeah, right.
But don't let them turn it.
Right,
he said, "I'll take care of you."
Yeah.
And he did.
Yes,
so wisdom to consolidate and become accurate. We need apostolic wisdom to consolidate what is happening today and restructure ministries and churches until they become relevant to the time we're in. We must find apostolic strategies and employ God's divine principles to reach a dying world without Christ. The church leadership today must seek God for apostolic strategies. Say apostolic strategies.
Apostolic.
That will help us keep biblical principles. That will help us to keep biblical principles, no matter what invented,
yes, sir.
Intact while we change the surrounding around us. Let me get it again. The church leadership today must seek God for apostolic strategies that will help us keep biblical principles intact while we change the society around us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen?